Hello and welcome to the Decorum Talking Newspaper for the week ending Saturday the 7th of November 2025. This is Andrew and the other readers are Jane, Graham and Jean, and we are all from Team 4, as is our editor this week, who is Mary. DTN's sponsors for the week are Neptune Heating and Plumbing. Whatever heating or plumbing services you may need, speak to the experts. Call Neptune Heating and Plumbing on 737 916. Most of our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Berkhamsted and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442 unless stated otherwise. And the headlines this week are Cotterill's Club Rises Again, 20 miles an hour limit call for schools, historic mill reopens and storm slip to a defeat. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, my name is Jane. A famous tourist site and historic mill in Decorum has reopened to the public 3 years on from a devastating fire. Frogmore Paper Mill opened its doors to the public again this month, 3 years after an arson attack forced the demolition of its original structure. Now, over 3.5 years after the attack, for which two teenage boys were convicted of committing arson, the mill is once again open. Staff are hosting hard hat tours of the area, which is home to the oldest mechanical paper mill in the world. Visitors will be shown how to make paper at the historic site and will be given an informative tour of the building, which became an operational paper back in the 18th century. A spokesperson for the mill said hard hats are required because they still have work to do, restoring the building after the devastating blaze. St Albans Youth Court heard in 2023 how two 13-year-olds had used a lighter to deliberately start a fire within the property in January of the prior year.
Hello, I'm Graham. To continue, initially dozens of firefighters raced to the scene to extinguish the blaze and make the area safe. Despite their best efforts, the mill confirmed its visitor centre had suffered major damage and other historic artefacts were beyond repair. Following the sentencing of the teenagers, police investigator Deborah Newsham said, "This incident demonstrates the consequences of reckless behaviour, and although I know the boys involved never meant to cause such devastation, they had no thought for what might happen when they started the fire and how quickly the flames would spread. The fire, which was battled by dozens of firefighters, destroyed precious artwork and historic documents from the famous paper mill, as well as causing millions of pounds worth of damage. It was previously revealed that staff and volunteers had to complete round-the-clock repair work to save the area from complete destruction. A fundraiser remains open to assist staff with making further repairs to the mill, and a spokesperson has cautioned that it remains of great importance that the site can be fully operational again to reopen to schools and other community groups."
Hello, this is Jean. Cotterill's Club in Hemel Hempstead celebrated its long-awaited grand reopening on Saturday the 25th of October, marking a triumphant return following extensive post-flood refurbishment works. The ribbon was officially cut by David Taylor, MP for Hemel Hempstead, alongside club president Joe McDonnell, in front of a packed gathering of members, supporters and guests. The celebration came after a major setback in September 2024, when a burst water tank in the loft caused severe flooding to three key areas of the club. Despite this, the committee staff and members worked tirelessly to keep the club operational in a limited capacity while major reinstatement and refurbishment works were completed. Today is more than just a reopening. It's a celebration of everything the Cotterill's Club stands for. Resilience, friendship and community, said Matthew Nutt, club secretary. We are deeply grateful to everyone who rolled up their sleeves to help us prepare for this day and to the members who never stopped believing in the club, added Karen Bradbury Gibbs, club treasurer. The atmosphere on the day was upbeat and full of pride, with all bars open and busy. The snooker room was in full use and there was a strong turnout from members and guests who were eager to celebrate the club's full return.
And to conclude that story, in his speech, David Taylor, MP, said, "It was a pleasure to cut the ribbon with Club President Joe McDonnell today, marking the end of their post-flood refurbishment works. Thank you for the incredibly warm welcome. The hard work of the club secretary, club treasurer, and wider committee members is a credit to the club. After operating in a limited capacity for the last 13 months, it is great news that this fantastic members' club is fully functional again. The club is friendly and welcoming, and this was evident from talking to many members and guests who attended this special event. With a history spanning over a century and a current membership of more than 400 people, Cotterall's Club continues to offer a home for all generations, hosting its much-loved Monday Club for its older and vulnerable members, as well as vibrant darts, pool, snooker, chess and live music nights at weekends. Joe McDonnell, the club president, on behalf of the committee, extended his sincere thanks to all staff and members who gave up their time to support the reopening preparations, as well as to key contractors whose work made the event possible: Crystal Property Services, BTL Building and Landscaping Services, and Nash Mills Heating. Cotterall's Club is now fully open and welcomes both returning members and new inquiries. For membership or further information, please contact the club secretary by email secretary_cotterall@outlook.com.
A Labour County Councillor is calling for 20 mile per hour speed limits to become the norm in Hertfordshire on all roads that have school entrances. Many schools across the county are located on roads with limits of more than 20 miles per hour, in some cases up to 70 miles per hour. Now Councillor Alistair Willoughby, Labour, Baldock and Letchworth East, is leading calls for the default limit around schools, subject to appropriate traffic assessments, to be reduced to 20 miles per hour. He proposed the change in a motion submitted to a meeting of the full County Council. It highlighted children as being among the most vulnerable road users, with collision severity increasing significantly at speeds above 20 miles per hour, and said that a default 20 mile per hour limit near school entrances would improve safety, as well as supporting those who walk and cycle and reducing emissions. Exceptions should be made only where there is compelling evidence. Councillor Willoughby's motion called on the Council to bring forward a feasibility assessment for county-wide implementation, ensuring that funding for signage, enforcement and public awareness campaigns is made available. The motion will be considered by a future meeting of the Council's Highways Cabinet Panel. Labour councillors say that if adopted, it would mark a major step forward towards safer school journeys and a more consistent approach to road safety across Hertfordshire. Every child should be able to walk to school safely, and every parent should feel confident that their community takes that seriously, said Councillor Willoughby, deputy leader of the Labour Group and his party's spokesperson for highways. This motion isn't just about speed limits. It is about taking sensible steps to put safety first and showing that we listen, that we care, and that we are ready to act when something so basic and important needs attention. Labour Group leader Councillor Nigel Bell, West Watford, who seconded the motion, said this is a practical, proportionate step. We are putting forward a clear, deliverable plan that balances safety, consultation and local flexibility. It's about making our communities safer, greener and more walkable. Every councillor, every school and every resident should have a voice in how this is rolled out. Following the meeting, a spokesperson for Hertfordshire County Council said, "We are considering the motion and its merits seriously, and we look forward to discussing it at the panel meeting."
More than 100 people were arrested during an operation across multiple police forces to tackle criminals exploiting cross borders and transport networks. Hertfordshire Police took part in Operation Pandilla alongside colleagues from 8 other police forces between October 21st and 23rd. During the operation, 111 arrests were made, 9 weapons were seized, 73 drug-related seizures took place, 100 vehicles were seized, and more than £12,348 in cash was confiscated. The operation tackled crimes including robbery, burglary, grievous bodily harm, supply of Class A drugs, theft of motor vehicles, and possession of offensive weapons by utilising police technology and intelligence sharing across forces. Reflecting on the operation, Detective Chief Inspector Sally Spencer said, "This operation highlights the effectiveness of our collaborative work across police forces. By sharing intelligence and working in close partnership, we are able to respond decisively to criminal activity that crosses policing boundaries. We hope our communities feel reassured that such offences are met with prompt and firm action. Our commitment remains clear to disrupt crime and protect the public. We actively respond to your concerns, and the information from our communities is crucial in identifying and intercepting criminality. If you notice anything suspicious, please report it online or by calling 101. Alternatively, you can contact the independent charity Crime Stoppers anonymously at crimestoppers-uk.org or by calling 0800 555 111. Hertfordshire Police took part in the operation alongside colleagues from the Metropolitan Police, British Transport Police, Thames Valley Police and forces based in Surrey, Sussex, Essex, Bedfordshire and Hampshire.
A former Hertfordshire police officer has been accused of misconduct after she allegedly showed sensitive material to a member of the public and failed to tell the police that her ex-partner was a convicted criminal. Former PC Claire Arnott will now face a police misconduct hearing on Thursday. A publicity notice published in advance of the misconduct hearing said former PC Arnott is accused of breaching the standards of professional behaviour for confidentiality, honesty and integrity, duties and responsibilities and discreditable conduct. The notice states that the former PC Arnott allegedly showed a member of the public sensitive work-related material on her work laptop and disclosed verbally information about people she was dealing with in her role as a police officer. It adds that she had been informed that her ex-partner had previous criminal convictions whilst they were in a relationship, but that she allegedly failed to disclose this information to her workplace. A formal complaint about PC Arnott was lodged by a member of the public after they visited Hertfordshire Constabulary's control room on March the 7th, 2024, at which time PC Arnott was a serving police officer.
A man has been charged in connection with an assault reported in a nightclub in Hemel Hempstead. Liam Loughran, who's 29, of Windsor Court in Colchester, was charged with Section 20 Grievous Bodily Harm, or GBH. Loughran's charge relates to an incident which took place in Vault's nightclub on Waterhouse Street at around 1:15 a.m. on June the 14th. Following an alleged assault, a man in his 40s was taken to hospital for treatment on a laceration to his eye and a black eye. Both injuries were suffered during the alleged beating. Hertfordshire Constabulary is still appealing for new witnesses to come forward and has confirmed that Loughran is being held in police custody. Detective Constable Jake Smith from the Decorum Criminal Investigation Department, or CID, is now launching a fresh appeal for information and witnesses. Although we now secured a charge and remand in connection with this incident, we are still appealing for anyone with information to come forward as we progress the case through the courts, said DC Smith. He added, "We'd like to make a direct appeal to anyone who may have been at Vault's at the time, including any members of staff at the nightclub who have not already spoken to us, to please come forward if they have any information. Did you witness what happened? Or the lead-up or aftermath? If you can help, please contact us as soon as possible," quoting Crime Reference 41/54252/25. Loughran is next due to appear at Cambridge Crown Court for a pre-trial preparation hearing on November the 18th.
An unnamed individual living in Hertfordshire won over £3 million via a lottery competition. It has been revealed that a recent winner of the National Lottery's Euro Millions draw was from Hertfordshire. A man in his 50s, who has chosen to remain anonymous, matched five main numbers and one lucky star to claim £3,613,887. A spokesperson for the National Lottery confirmed the lucky winner is a regular player of the Euro Millions, Set for Life and Lotto. He told them that he plans to buy a home in the West Country with his winnings. Speaking about the win, he said, "This is just fantastic news. After working for many years, I'm now in a position to not work at all. It will give me more time to travel." Andy Carter, senior winners advisor at Allwyn, operator of the National Lottery, said, on a day that so many people consider unlucky, this man had a very lucky day, winning 3.6 million on the Euro Millions. He can now look forward to buying a new house and do some travelling. Huge congratulations to him. Each winner of the National Lottery is given the option to go public or remain anonymous or, like Hertfordshire's winner, release limited information about their identity.
A man was rushed to hospital following a collision in Berk, Hampstead. A pedestrian, a man in his 60s, was taken to hospital following a collision with a black Peugeot 2008 GT. At around 7:45 a.m. on Monday last week, October 27th, the vehicle was travelling along the High Street near the turning from Coombe Gardens when it was involved in a collision with a pedestrian. Hertfordshire Constabulary says the pedestrian suffered serious injuries and confirmed the driver of the Peugeot remained at the scene to assist officers with their inquiries. Sergeant Luke Morley from the Bedfordshire, Cambridgeshire and Hertfordshire Road Policing Unit said, "I am appealing for witnesses to this collision to contact police to help the investigation into what happened. I'm particularly keen to speak to anyone with a dash cam and who was driving in the area at the time in case they recorded any important footage. If you captured anything, please upload this via hearts.police.uk/dashcam upload. I can also be emailed directly via luke.morley@hearts.police.uk. Information can also be reported to the police force online via its web chat service or by calling the non-emergency number 101 and quoting ISR 96 of 27 October 2025.
Cats Protection are looking for rehoming Poppy and Norman. Poppy is a beautiful black female, approximately 1 year old, with a heart as big as her personality. She's a confident and affectionate girl who absolutely thrives on human company. She loves attention and may well grow into a full-on lap cat, given the chance. She's looking for a loving home together with her son Norman. Norman is shy on first meeting, but once he feels safe and settled, he absolutely loves affection and rewards it with a lovely purr. They would be happier in a home with adults or a family with respectful children. Once they're settled and Norman is old enough, they'd love the opportunity to safely explore a garden away from the main or through roads and direct access to a garden. For more information, contact the Cats Protection, Hemel Hempstead and Berkhamsted branch via cats.org.uk/Hemel Hempstead or 0345 37111851.
The Marlowe's Shopping Centre is once again honoured to support the Royal British Legion's annual Poppy Appeal, marking its 11th consecutive year of partnership with this remarkable cause. The appeal will be taking place in centre until Friday the 8th of November, giving visitors the chance to donate, purchase a poppy and show their support for our armed forces community. Each year, the Marlowe's welcomes the Royal British Legion team and volunteers into the centre with open arms. The presence of the iconic poppy stand serves as a powerful reminder of the importance of remembrance, not only as a tribute to those who have served, but also as a symbol of unity and gratitude within the community. "The poppy means a great deal to us here at the Marlowe's," said Humphrey Mwanza, centre manager at the Marlowe's. "We're so proud to play our part in supporting this vital campaign once again." Visitors are encouraged to stop by the Royal British Legion stand, located opposite Deichmann, to make a donation, collect a poppy, or simply take a moment to reflect. Every contribution, no matter how big or small, helps support the incredible work the charity continues to do for veterans and their families across the UK. The Marlowe's extends its heartfelt thanks to all guests and members of the community who continue to support this meaningful cause year after year. For further details on the Marlowe's Shopping Centre, visit the Marlowe's website.
A brand new Christmas musical, Vote for Father Christmas, by Gary Wilmot, MBE, is coming to the Denby Theatre in Tring. The show, written by the West End Theatre and TV star, has been gifted to the Vale Musical Society to produce for the very first time. Well-known and awarded director Neil Gurney, president of Vale Musical Society, is directing and developing the script with his creative team. While Gary has written all the music and lyrics for the show, as well as the script, it has been scored and orchestrated by local Wendover musician Leslie Vincent. Casting took place last December during a workshop with Neil and Gary, and the nine principals have all been cast from Aylesbury and surrounding villages. The 50-strong cast, including 20 children, are being put through their paces as they gear up for the world premiere on Tuesday the 9th of December. The show runs from December 8th to 14th. Emma Loveday, a well-known local performer, is choreographing the sparkling, snow-dusted, spectacular musical filled with mischief, magic, and mayhem. After centuries of tireless service, Father Christmas has decided to hang up his boots and retire. The world is thrown into a festive frenzy as everyone wonders who will take over the most magical job in the world. Every child, and only children, across the globe has their chance to cast their vote for Santa's successor. The show follows local hero, a nurse called Sam Wiseman, on his journey from the elections to the North Pole, encountering elves, fairies, reindeer, and other magical creatures. However, if he wins the position of the new Santa, it will mean leaving behind his friends and potential love of his life. Gary has been working on the musical for 15 years. Vote for Father Christmas is a festive show blending the nostalgic warm feel of classic Christmas tales with the razzle-dazzle of modern musical theatre. Think Matilda meets Elf. No stranger to the magic of Christmas, Gary has performed in many pantomimes at the Palladium Theatre, London, alongside many famous musicals over his 40-plus year career.
To continue, whilst you can be sure of a great night out and the chance to see this magical show for the very first time, all profits generated from the week-long run will be going to two incredible children's charities, Inspire Bucks and the Pepper Foundation. Aimed to bring a smile to vulnerable children and young people, Inspire Bucks was formed in 2021 after several years of running a successful countywide Christmas gift campaign. It now also helps those going through difficult times, providing mentoring for children, help for care leavers, educational needs, and general support where it's needed. The Pepper Foundation's mission has been to improve the quality of life for families caring for children with complex health needs and life-limiting conditions. Founded in 1993, it has been ensuring that families have access to essential clinical nursing care, specialist play services, and more recently, family days out. Excitingly, on Friday the 12th of December, audiences will be able to join the cast and crew for a special evening to raise funds for these incredible children's charities and hear from the creative team how this magical show came to life. A pre-show panel and Q&A with Gary Wilmore MBE, the director and team, will take place, with a post-show party to mingle with the cast, crew, charities and guests. Tickets are on sale at denbytheatre.org.
This week in history, November the 9th, 1979, a computer-led fault led to a full-scale nuclear alert in the United States. On this day last year, US President Joe Biden and President-elect Donald Trump would meet in the Oval Office, the White House said. Such a post-election meeting is traditional between the outgoing and incoming presidents. November the 10th, 1982, Soviet leader Leonid Brezhnev died of a heart attack, aged 75. On this day last year, Rita Ora remembered former One Direction singer Liam Payne with a tearful tribute at the MTV Europe Music Awards. The singer died at the age of 31 after falling from a third-floor balcony of the Casa Sur Hotel in Buenos Aires, Argentina. On November the 11th, 1987, Van Gogh irises fetched £29.3 million at Sotheby's in New York. On this day last year, Noel Gallagher created an immersive version of the Oasis hit for London's National Portrait Gallery, Champagne Supernova, which appears on the album What's the Story, Morning Glory, had been turned into a six-hour ambient mixed track. November the 12th, 1944, Tirpitz, last of Hitler's fleet of unsinkable battleships, was sunk off the Norwegian coast by Lancaster bombers.
And now we come to the information slot. This is followed by the obituaries, what's on, and any more news.
Remembrance Sunday this year will be held on the 9th of November and is the day traditionally put aside to remember all those who have given their lives for the peace and freedom we enjoy today. The annual Remembrance Parade will be held in Hemel Hempstead, organised in collaboration with the Hemel Hempstead branch of the Royal British Legion. The parade will march from Hemel Hempstead Town Centre at around 10:30 a.m. and conclude at the War Memorial at St John's Church, Boxmoor, where an outdoor service will be held. All ex-service personnel are warmly invited to participate in the parade. If you wish to join, please assemble at the Rainbow Stage in Marlowe's by 10:10 a.m. on Sunday. Some roads surrounding Hemel Hempstead Town Centre will be closed from 10 a.m. to midday on the Sunday. These include the Plough Roundabout, Leighton Buzzard Road, Moor End Road, Waterhouse Street, Station Road, St John's Road, Park Road, Heath Lane, Cotterills and Vicarage Close. We apologise for any inconvenience this may cause. This year, the annual Berkhamsted Parade to St Peter's Church will take place on Sunday, 9th November, and will form up to march off from the car park at the end of Clarence Road at 14:45. A short ceremony at the St Peter's War Memorial will include a reading of all the names of the fallen of World War I and will be followed by a full remembrance service inside the church. There will be a remembrance service in Tring on Sunday, 9th November at 10:45 until 11:45 a.m, held in the St Peter and St Paul Churchyard, High Street, Tring.
Door to Store, run by Community Action Decorum. This is a community bus service for residents in Hemel Hempstead, Kings Langley, Bovingdon, Berkhamsted and Tring. Supported by volunteers, the service picks you up from your home address and takes you to a local supermarket, meet a friend or catch up with other shoppers. The service operates every fortnight and costs £7 for the return journey. The booking lines open 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday to Friday. To book a place on a shopping trip, contact Community Action Decorum on 212 888. Kings Langley, Monday morning to Sainsbury's Apsley Mills. Bovingdon, Monday morning to Sainsbury's Apsley Mills. Berkhamsted, Wednesday morning to Waitrose Berkhamsted. Tring, Thursday morning to Tesco Tring. And Hemel, Friday morning to Morrison's St Albans.
Also on the Community Action Decorum website, Day Trippers Decorum. The CAD website lists all the information for the remaining winter programme that runs until February 2026. The trips listed are for people living in Hemel Hempstead, Markgate, Flamstead, Great Gadsden, Kings Langley, Chipperfield and Bovingdon. All trips are mobility coded to aid you in identifying the amount of walking involved. All trips are accessible to people with mobility difficulties. To find out more information, go to communityactiondecorum.org. To book, please call 212 888 and leave a voicemail with your name, number and trips you'd like to book. CAD will call you back.
This is a notice from Hertfordshire Mind Network. November is Men's Mental Health Month. Ever felt like you want to say how you really feel but don't know how? We know this isn't always easy and that sometimes it helps to know there's a supportive space nearby. Whether you want to talk, take part in activities or simply connect with other men going through similar experiences, there's something for you. Our Nightlife Crisis House offers a safe and welcoming space for anyone feeling distressed or facing a crisis. Here you can relax and feel secure, knowing that our skilled and experienced staff are always available to listen and provide support if you need it. This haven allows you to take time out or discuss your challenges with someone who will listen without judgment. Our Hemel Hempstead Crisis House has 4 bed spaces available for overnight stays if that would help you resolve your crisis. These beds are available, depending on capacity, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for all Hertfordshire residents. All stays are reviewed daily, with most individuals staying up to 3 nights, depending on individual needs. How to refer. Anyone can refer an individual aged 18 plus who is experiencing any kind of mental health crisis and lives in Hertfordshire or is registered with a GP in Hertfordshire. We understand a crisis as self-defined based on your experience of your situation. To contact us, please call us on 01923 256 391. To contact the team directly with any queries, please email nightlight, that's all one word, at hertfordshiremind, also all one word, .org. Emails are checked by staff at the beginning of each and every shift.
The obituary in the Gazette this week is Stanley John Mills, who passed away at home in Tring on 19th October. The funeral service will be held at St. Peter and St. Paul Church in Tring on Wednesday, 12th November at 11 a.m, followed by committal at Beerton Crematorium. May he rest in peace.
Films at the Cineworld Cinema this week include Predator Badlands, an action film, The Coral, a drama, Begonia, a comedy, Regretting You, a drama, Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere, a drama, Gabby's Doll's House, the movie, an animation, I Swear, a comedy drama, Black Phone 2, a horror film, Back to the Future 40th Anniversary Reissue, Shelby Oaks, a horror film, Die My Love, a drama, Anemone, a drama, One Battle After Another, an action film, Nuremberg Unlimited Screening, a drama. All popular films are provided to cinemas with an audio description track. Please mention your requirements at the time of booking.
And music. Ashley Campbell, Old Town Hall, Hemel Hempstead, on November the 10th. The daughter of country legend Glen Campbell, Ashley Campbell, cut her teeth playing in her father's band, and has since gone on to establish herself as a singer-songwriter in her own right, with powerful vocals, lyrical prowess, and mesmerising banjo playing. Her original music has taken her all over the world, from China to Japan, from playing the Royal Albert Hall in London with Ben Folds, as well as with Scott Bradley's Postmodern Jukebox, to opening for Kris Kristofferson, as well as playing at Carnegie Hall in New York with songwriting legend Jimmy Webb. Ashley has been in London since 2023 and continues to make her mark in the country and Americana scene across the UK and Europe. Call 228091 to book. And Be Jazz at the Civic Centre in Berkhamsted on Saturday the 15th of November at 8 o'clock to 10:30, £6 to £20 are the cost of tickets, and the main event is Gareth Loughrane Quartet. This is preceded by a support act as part of Be Jazz Showcasing Emerging Talent initiative. Early doors at 6:45, then from 7:10 to 7:50, the Casey White Quartet, violin-led. They will play a range of jazz from classic standards to some of their own compositions. Tickets are from the website jazz.org.
And turning now to the theatre, Mary Poppins is on at the Milton Keynes Theatre until November the 22nd. Based on the stories of P.L. Travers and the Walt Disney film, the story of the world's favourite nanny arriving on Cherry Tree Lane promises dazzling choreography, incredible effects, and unforgettable songs. The timeless score includes Jolly Holiday, Step in Time, Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, and Feed the Birds, with new songs and additional music and lyrics by the Olivier Award-winning British team of George Stiles and Anthony Drew. Acclaimed Australian stars Stephanie Jones and Jack Chambers reprise their roles as Mary Poppins and Bert. Visit atgtickets.com/Milton Keynes, all one word, to book. And at the Old Town Hall in Hemel Hempstead, there's Christmas Gothic on from Saturday the 22nd to Sunday the 23rd of November. The Old Town Hall's resident company, the award-winning Dyad Productions, are back with their atmospheric celebration of the festive ghost story. Christmas, a time to remember the past, celebrate the present, and look to the future. A time of feasts and festivities, of holly and mistletoe, a time of visits and visitations, a time of ghosts. Come in from the cold and enter into the Christmas spirit as a dark and spectral woman tells haunting tales of the festive season, lighting a candle to the frailties of human nature and illuminating the cold and chilling depths of the bleak, wintry dark. This dark celebration of Christmas is adapted and performed by Rebecca Vaughan. There are still some tickets available at oldtownhall.co.uk or telephone 228091 for more information.
Comedy. Stephen K. Amos, Now We're Talking, Old Town Hall, Hemel Hempstead, November 9th. The gloves are off and I'm packing a punchline, so let's speak easy and laugh freely, says Stephen. After all, in jokes we trust. Call 228091 to book.
Some news from Hertfordshire County Council. We have launched a survey which gives you the chance to have your say and help shape our budget for 2026-27. The short survey highlights how our £1.2 billion budget is spent across a range of services which touch the lives of all Hertfordshire's 1.2 million residents. It also asks you to consider where you would prioritise spending of finite resources and share ideas to make further savings and increase income. Your feedback will help ensure that residents' voices are heard and reflected in the key decisions that will be made. The survey is open now and closes on Sunday, 7th of December. Find it at hertfordshire.gov.uk. Scroll down to featured news and pick Help Shape Our Budget.
Hertfordshire County Council has published the first draft of its next SEND, Special Educational Needs and Disabilities Strategy, nearly 2 years after a damning inspection by the care watchdog found widespread and systemic failings. Following users' feedback, the new strategy for 2026 to 2029 promises a transformative shift in how the authority engages with families, with an emphasis on collaboration, communication, and meaningful outcomes. It vows to enhance the voices of young people in shaping services through its three youth councils, as well as to extend its SEND Academy, which saw 138 people recruited by the local authority last October to build expertise across frontline professionals. Improving communication across council services so that it is clearer and more compassionate is also highlighted as an aim. Elsewhere, early intervention is cited as a key consideration, with families, even without a formal diagnosis, accessing help using web pages such as local officer website and the Neurodiversity Hub. The draft document highlights several improvements made since the previous SEND strategy was adopted in 2022, including more timely assessments. 89% of new educational health and care plans, EHCPs, were issued on time in September, compared to 38% in July 2023. It states more children and young people are receiving new EHCPs of good or outstanding quality, with 66% achieving the rating in the second quarter of 2025 to 2026, July to September, up from just 5% in the same quarter 2 years earlier. The strategy is set to be discussed at a meeting on Thursday, November the 6th, of the Council's Education, SEND and Inclusion Cabinet Panel. It will go out for public consultation before finalised in April 2026.
And to continue that story, the County Council shares responsibility for planning SEND services with the local NHS Hertfordshire and West Essex Integrated Care Board, ICB. This joint enterprise, referred to as the Hertfordshire SEND Local Area Partnership, has drafted the latest strategy with support from hospital trusts, 524 schools, 4 colleges, and 9 Delivering Specialist Provision Locally, DSPL, areas. According to council documents, the strategy first and foremost focuses on children and young people with special educational needs and disabilities aged 0 to 25 and aims to improve their experiences and outcomes as well as those of their parents and carers. The document repeatedly stresses the amount of public engagement that has gone into the draft, citing September's SEND Summit, which invited the public to make observations, as well as 50 hours of county councillor and officers' time spent meeting with over 130 parent carers and 531 responses to a parent carer survey, among other evidence. The current Hertfordshire SEND strategy was developed during 2021 by the partnership and launched in 2022. It was written at the height of the COVID pandemic, which significantly limited its scope for face-to-face services and community engagement.
Hertfordshire will see a significant rise in older people living with frailty and dementia in the coming years, with care demands in some areas increasing up to 300% by 2042, according to a council report. Hertfordshire County Council's Adult Care Services Cabinet panel met on Thursday, October 23rd, where they were presented with the Council's draft care homes commissioning strategy for older people. Commissioners from the Council's Adult Care Services have come up with the five-year strategy, which aims to tackle the challenges around caring for an increasingly older population. Priorities include addressing significant and sustained increases in the number of older people, as well as tackling a lack of affordable care options and a need for improvement in the experiences of people living with dementia. A further priority is an education gap in care homes in dealing with residents with non-cognitive symptoms of dementia, such as agitation, aggression, wandering and mood changes. A report into the strategy stated residential and nursing care commissioning for older people is a major area of statutory responsibility, activity and financial commitment for the council, with residential and nursing purchasing for older people totalling £110.7 million for 2025-26. The report cited an inspection of the council's care services by the Care Quality Commission, which rated it good overall, with its subcategory for partnerships achieving an outstanding rating, although Ofsted did highlight priorities concerning nursing care. The document went on, significant progress has since been made in this area, most notably a 10-year variation to the quantum care contract for residential and day services has been implemented, bringing forward a range of benefits, including the supply of over 500 residential and nursing beds, improved access routes to care, and savings on bed costs. Carers with lived experience of frailty and dementia have contributed to a new care model put forward by the Council's public health team, while adult care services have trialled a care home service for people with non-cognitive symptoms of dementia. Hearts Care Providers Association, HCPA, is also working with Adult Care Services to establish a specialist dementia training course for care home settings, which has also fed into the plan. Councillor Calvin Horner, Liberal Democrats, Bishop Stortford, Vice Chair of the committee, said, "The one area you might touch on is the economics of this. We need to ensure that a lot of places that we provide and commission are affordable, and therefore we need to have a large estate that will provide affordable space. Really, I suppose I'm commending this plan." After discussion, members voted to endorse the plan to the Cabinet.
Hemel's MP David Taylor has been elected Vice Chair of the inaugural meeting of the newly formed cross-party, all-party parliamentary group on antisocial behaviour, APPG on ASB. The APPG brings together MPs from across party lines and is supported by Resolve UK, the sector-leading body specialising in antisocial behaviour and community safety issues. Resolve UK acts as the official secretariat for the group. In his role as Vice Chair, David Taylor will ensure that the concerns of Hemel Hempstead residents are front and centre of national policy discussions on antisocial behaviour, street crime and community safety. Key commitments from David Taylor MP include utilising the AP PG platform working with Resolve UK to drive tougher enforcement, quicker intervention and stronger partnerships between police, councils, housing providers and residents. Bringing specific Hemel Hempstead problem areas and real-life constituent casework into Westminster so that national legislation and local delivery are aligned. Working with collaboratively across political parties, local agencies and communities in Hemel to deliver tangible results, safer streets, fewer victims and more visible policing. Mr Saylor said, this is about action, not words. Too many people in Hemel Hempstead are seeing antisocial behaviour, intimidation, drug dealing and vandalism in their streets. My election as Vice Chair of the APPG gives us the platform to turn local frustration into national action and local results. He added, working with Resolve UK and across party teams means we'll hold everyone from local providers to government to account. Hemel's residents deserve to feel safe where they live, work and shop, and I am determined they will see the change.
Local MP David Taylor met with the Minister for Children and Families, Josh McAllister MP, to discuss the case for John F. Kennedy Catholic School, JFK, to be included in the next phase of the school's rebuilding programme. During the meeting, David Taylor highlighted the urgent need for investment at JFK, noting that of the 9 secondary schools in Decorum, our students and staff deserve better facilities, and I am determined to ensure JFK receives the investment needed to support its continued success, said David Taylor MP. The MP was joined by a member of his team who is a former JFK student, underlining the strong local ties and shared commitment to improving the school's learning environment. Mr Taylor's team added that Labour is delivering for schools by recruiting 6,500 new teachers, expanding free breakfast clubs to every primary school, and investing in early years education with thousands of new nursery places. The party is ending tax breaks for private schools to fund improvements in state education, ensure every child has a chance to thrive.
And now some local sports news. First, football. Lee Allinson played tribute to his Hemel Hempstead Town players as they came within a whisker of knocking out League One side Wigan Athletic in the FA Cup first round last Saturday. The two sides drew 1-1 before the Wigan team progressed on penalties, with around 1,000 Hemel fans having made the long trip north to get behind their team. Allinson felt his team had done themselves and the town proud, saying, "We were outstanding. I thought we were the better team, especially in the second half when we dominated the game, but it wasn't enough. We missed some unbelievable chances and Wigan defended for their lives. But it says a lot when you come here and get clapped off the pitch by the whole stadium." Hemel were back in league action last Tuesday with a visit from Weston Supermare before away trips to Worthing on Saturday and Ware in the Hearts Senior Cup next Tuesday.
Now some basketball news. Hemel Storm were again on the wrong side of the fine margins as they slipped to a third league defeat of the season in Yorkshire last Saturday. The 103-92 loss to the Dragons rather told the tale of their campaign so far, with plenty of good periods ultimately cancelled out by a poor run and a surrender of a lead. As has been the theme of the season so far, Storm were left empty-handed despite a performance that was on the whole positive. Of their 5 defeats in all competitions, their average losing margin is just over 5 points, merely a couple of plays showing how close they have come. In a league as competitive as this, with talent spread across all the teams and no one lying down easily, minor lapses of concentration can be fatal. All that Storm's season has lacked so far is a touch of conviction and the ruthlessness to close out games comfortably, traits born out of winning. Storm return to action this Saturday, 8th November, when they face another long trip to Newcastle.
A reminder for those interested in sports news. On Saturday afternoon, Three Counties Radio broadcast on FM 103.8, Heart Radio are on FM 97.6 and TalkSport are on medium wave 1089.
And trustee notices. Pursuant to the Trustee Act 1925, any persons having a claim against or an interest in the estates of the following: Christine Margaret Winter, deceased, late of 19 Lincoln Court, Berkhamsted, who died on 30th of May 2024, are requested to send written particulars to Harrowell and Atkins, Boxwell House, 275 High Street, Berkhamsted, HP41BW, by the 6th of January 2026. A second trustee notice this week for Audrey Betts, maiden name Guire, deceased, later 4 Ravenscourt, Benningfield Gardens, Berkhamsted, who died on the 19th of October 2025, requested to send written particulars to Michael Betts, the London Gazette, P.O. Box 3584, Norwich, NR 7 7WD, by the 6th of January 2026. Pursuant to the Trustee Act 1925, any persons having a claim against or an interest in the estate of Patricia Winifred Hall, deceased, late of 6 Norvik Road, Marsworth, who died on the 17th of July 2025, are requested to send particulars to Sarah Crook, 11 High Street, Tring, HP235AL, by 6th of January 2026. A trustee notice for Keith Allen Flower, deceased, late of 10 Adefield Gardens, Hemel Hempstead, who died on the 3rd of March 2024, are requested to send written details to care of Hepburn Delaney Solicitors, 7 The Progression Centre, Mark Road, Hemel Hempstead, HP27DW, by the 6th of January 2026.
We're coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 7:09 and 16:23. Don't forget, for those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. For those who are listening to this week's news on a memory stick, the amenities and services information follows after the final music. Please remove your memory stick from the player and return it to us in the pouch provided. Turn the label over and post it back to us at Adefield Community Centre, The Queen's Square, Hemel Hempstead, HP24EW, using any Royal Mail postbox. No stamp is required. Thank you for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and David, your technician for this week.